Such a blessing. All right, if you got your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, please turn to John chapter 6. We are going to camp out in the last 30 or so verses of John 6. Now, for the sake of time, we won't be diving into every verse. Don't worry about that. But I would like for us to read the text together before we start, just because, well, it's sacred text. So let's read verses 41 through verse 59, and then we'll talk about it. Hey, Trev. Thank you, sir. Yay, I can see. You see the size of this font and how dark it is, and I still need those lights to see it? Yeah, it's getting bad. Getting old ain't for sissies. All right. Verse 41. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I've come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He's seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Okay, a lot there. But you probably noticed that a lot of that content is repetitive. Jesus is recycling what he told the crowds earlier in chapter 6, and he's hitting the same points over and over and over. Between verses 33 and 58, Jesus says that he's come down from heaven 6 times. He refers to himself in some way as the bread of life about 10 different times. This conversation between Jesus and the crowds is coming to an end. And so Jesus is driving his points home. This is a big turning point in his public ministry. And he's pleading with the crowds to see him for who he is, not who they want him to be. In other words, he wants them to believe. And so in verse 44, he says something he's never really said before up until this point. It's connected to what he said in verse 37 that we looked at last week. In verse 37, he said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Well, verse 44 gives us kind of what I would say is like the two bookends for verse 37. 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." So if we put those two verses together and arrange their content chronologically, no one can come to Jesus unless the Father who sent him draws them. All that the Father gives him will come to him, and whoever comes to him, he will never cast out. Plus, he promises to raise them up on the last day. Verses 37 and 44 give us the process of personal salvation. It's initiated by the Father who draws the sinner to Jesus. The Greek word John uses for draw is helkuo. It means to pull or to drag. It's the word Jesus uses in John 12 where he says that when he's lifted up from the earth, he'll draw all people to himself. It's also the word John uses in chapter 21 where he says that Peter drew the net full of fish onto the beach. So that word can be used literally, like in chapter 21, or figuratively, like in here in chapter 6. So does the Father figuratively draw us, leading us and persuading us and wooing us to follow the Son? Or does He literally draw us, like with a toe strap, pulling us along the way? Well, the text tells us. If we keep looking at the text will tell us. So let's keep looking at the text. So the Father initiates salvation, okay? Just like the prophet Jonah said in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. He said, salvation belongs to Yahweh. So that's consistent messaging. The next step is in verse 37 where Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Okay, so nobody comes to Jesus unless the Father draws them, right? And Jesus said that all who the Father gives him will come to him. So that must mean that whoever the Father draws, he then gives them to Jesus and they all come to him, right? No, that's not what he says. Let's read it again. Let's pick up verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Okay. And I will raise him up on the last day. Got that. 45. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Okay, that's Isaiah. That's chapter 54 of Isaiah. Isaiah is promising a future day, a day of peace, when God institutes a new covenant in the future generations of God's people. Isaiah tells them, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. They will be reconciled to the God that their ancestors abandoned because their God is instituting a new covenant. It's a covenant that Jeremiah said would be written on their hearts, not on tablets of stone. Yahweh will be their God and they will be His people, and they won't need anyone to teach them about Yahweh because they will all know Him personally. That's Jeremiah 31. And now in John 6, Jesus is telling the crowds that this promised day, written long ago in the prophets, is now here. Again, the messaging is totally consistent. And he finishes verse 45 by saying, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not everyone who's been drawn, but everyone who has heard and learned from the Father. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws them. We know that because Jesus said that, okay? So in other words, I'm not going to wake up one day and by my own intellectual power decide that I need to follow Jesus. That's not how salvation works. Salvation is always initiated by the Father as He draws the individual to the Son. But not everyone who is drawn will come. Only those who hear and learn from the Father make it to Jesus. And I think most of us understand this to be true. It's the reason why two people who are both far from Jesus can be sitting in the same place listening to the same gospel presentation or the same Bible teacher, and one of them will give their life to Jesus and one of them won't. Both were drawn, but only one heard and learned and came to Jesus. Now there's a belief system prominent in a lot of churches, especially here in the South, that would explain the reason for this happening is God only drew the one and not the other because God only wanted the one and not the other. Well, off the top of my head, I can name two guys who'd have a real problem with that. One is the Apostle Paul, the other one's the Apostle Peter. In 1 Timothy 2, our friend Paul told his friend Timothy that God desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Not some people. All people. And he wants all those people to come to a knowledge of the truth. In other words, he wants them to hear and to learn. So Paul's message is consistent with Jesus' message, which is consistent with Jeremiah's message, which is consistent with Isaiah's message. As four guys about 900 years apart, it's the same message. But I thought the Bible contradicted itself. No. No. Never in its messaging. If a number is messed up, if this says 400, this says 4,000, are we really going to die on that hill? We're talking about the messaging of the Bible. Folks who make those claims that the Bible contradicts itself are either too lazy to do the hard work of Bible study, and it's hard work. It really is. Or they're intellectually dishonest, and they've decided the answer to the question before they even ask the question. There's a lot of those folks online. A lot of them. And Jesus lets them do that, y'all. He lets them poke and peek and kind of walk around the perimeter of truth because Jesus is patient. And if they need more time, He will give them more time. That's what Peter told the church in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. He said, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Any and all. Y'all, God's arms are long enough to reach around the whole world, and He wants the whole world to come to Jesus and be saved. So the Father draws everyone. And those who are willing to hear and willing to learn, He gives them to Jesus, and they come to Jesus. And what does Jesus promise He will never do? Cast them out. Man, that'll preach right there. If you had a better preacher, he could preach that. But that's man. That is a warm blanket on a cold night right there. That is good stuff. So why is Jesus getting into this with the crowds? It seems like He's kind of picking a fight. He kind of is. But why does all this matter? Why would He do that? Well, it has a lot to do with the belief systems of the day. You see, the Jews believed that they'd all be saved and they'd all be raised again on the last day simply because they were Jews. That somehow their ethnicity entitled them to salvation. But that's not true. That's never been true. Jesus said it's only those who hear and learn from the Father, who respond to the drawing of the Father, that come to Him and receive salvation. He said in verse 47, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." Not whoever was born between certain borders. Not whoever has a particular last name or family history or cultural identity. Whoever believes has eternal life. And y'all, that is not just a cognitive awareness, okay? Belief has to evolve into trusting in and relying on Jesus for all things. It means we are loyal to Jesus above all things, above all other gods, whether they be the gods of the unseen realm or they're the gods we make in our own minds. Jesus has to be king. Amen. Jesus is king. He is the God of all gods, and He will not share His glory with anyone. And we shouldn't try to share His glory with anyone either. It's His glory. He is the bread of life which has come down from heaven to reunite the human and the divine. He is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. He is the living bread that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread because the Father has drawn them, because they've heard the Father and they've learned from the Father, and they come to Jesus, He will never cast them out and they will live forever. That's what Jesus said. Not because they live on a landmass the size of New Jersey in the Middle East, but because they believed. Where we spend forever, y'all, is determined by our response to His gospel message. Nothing else. Nothing else. Now, some folks don't like to hear that, and that's okay. Some folks in Jesus' day didn't want to hear that either. Look at verse 52. It says, "The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?'" I guess in all their great learning, these Jewish leaders never learned what a metaphor was. Which we still have that problem today. Again, they're online. You can find them pretty easily. We also have folks who are like Jesus' own students in verse 60 who say, "When many of His disciples heard it, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?'" In other words, "Jesus, I want to hear and I want to know. I just don't understand what you're saying. Anybody else? I've been there. Man, I go there regularly. The Jews in verse 52, y'all, they willfully misunderstood Jesus because they refused to believe. Their minds were made up before these conversations ever started. I was joking earlier when I said that they didn't know what a metaphor was. They know what a metaphor was. They knew that bread of life was a metaphor. They knew that bread from heaven was a metaphor. They knew that bread from God, living bread, all metaphors, they knew that. They also knew that when Jesus started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, which he did in verses 51 through 58, that Jesus wasn't inviting people into cannibalism, okay? He was linking himself to their system of sacrifice that pays for the sins of the people. In verse 40, everyone who looks on the Son and believes has eternal life. That's pretty tame. In verse 54, whoever feeds on Jesus' flesh and drinks his blood has eternal life. So Jesus is ratcheting up the metaphors. He is not toning them down. Because he will not back down from the truth that he is the bread of life that has come down from heaven. And that he will give his body and he will spill his blood to pay for the sins of all people. He will not back down from that. But those who will not hear and will not learn cannot believe. They cannot believe. Which is why verse 66 tells us, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. And we're not talking about five or six people. This is a lot of people. But y'all, these folks are no different than we are. It's real easy for us down here in the Bible Belt to look around and see all these churches filled with all these people and think that all of us are following Jesus because we all believe, when in reality, a lot of us don't. We just don't. We say we do because we think we do. Because we believe what we were told. That if we just recite this prayer, if we just make this declaration in front of other people, that we would be saved. And that's all we'd ever need to do. We were drawn by the camp counselor or the Sunday school teacher or the youth leader. We weren't drawn by the Father. We couldn't hear the Father because we didn't think we needed to. We never learned from the Father because we didn't think we had to. If I just say this, then I get this. Belief has nothing to do with that. That's a transaction. But y'all, belief is all that matters. It's all that matters. Not knowledge, not understanding, belief. Do you believe? Do you believe? You know, for Jesus, seeing so many people turn away and not want to walk with him anymore, not want to learn from him anymore, not want to be with him anymore, that had to make him so sad. You know, I personally think that our unbelief doesn't make Jesus angry as much as it makes him sad. I think it hurts him. And I think you can kind of hear that hurt in verse 67. It says, so Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? That's the 12, y'all. But then Jesus hears from Peter, that old knucklehead who should give everyone hope. He's impulsive and a hothead, and he says things he shouldn't. But here, he says something that had to mean so much to Jesus. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed, and have now come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Belief. Do you believe? Does your life and your words and your actions and your pursuit of Jesus and your desire to learn from Jesus and your willingness to obey Jesus, does it show everyone around you that you believe? If you don't believe, today's a good day to start believing. Like Paul told Timothy, God's desire is for all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. All people. So if you think you might want to talk about that some more, let me know. We can do that. Or let someone know. You're among friends here for sure. Let me pray for us. And then we can sing. Father, thank you for the gift of belief. Thank you, Father, for drawing us and teaching us and showing us and helping us to know you and hear you and learn from you. What a blessing, what an honor that we can't even comprehend. We can't grasp that. The God of the universe wants us. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who makes all things possible, makes this conversation possible, makes belief possible, makes eternal salvation possible. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you, I pray that this morning they are hearing you and learning from you and they come to faith in Jesus. God, if there's those of us here who our lives don't reflect our belief, I pray that that would change this morning. That moving forward, it'd be all about Jesus. Lord, I thank you for these sweet folks who are here. Thank you that they have gathered to worship and celebrate Jesus. I pray that we've done that in a pleasing way for you this morning, Father. And as we sing this last song together, I pray that you would receive it as an offering of praise. That's what it is. And Lord, I just thank you for your great love, for your patience, and for the way you pursue us and take us to your Son. This in your beautiful name we pray. Amen.